Dave Land.
I love it.
Brought to you by
Twin Peaks and American Leak Detection.
Also known as Grape Fest. And we're post-playoffs now. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of time to squeeze this segment back into the Monday calendar. And I mentioned that I do have a wood chipper story that maybe we'll share when we get back from vacation. But we thought we would take this opportunity to revisit some audio from Friday night, because this show was well represented during the Ticket Time Wasters set. And I have to say, it was the most legitimate Time Wasters gig ever, because that was the most legitimate stage we've ever appeared on there at the Granada Theater.
There's really no second.
No. And it's, you know, it's a tiny backstage. It's a historic theater that was a movie house before it was a concert venue. So it's not like they have a palatial green room and they have just kind of a janky plywood ramp that all the bands use to load in. It's weird seeing what looks like an incredible venue when you're out there in the crowd, to then see how half-assed it is backstage from a performer's point of view.
Yeah, just cramped.
Yeah. But it was great fun, and we had loads of fun with the P1s who made it out.
Just didn't have room for my entourage, you know?
The little cocktail hour, the meet and greet, girls. The hour before the Time Wasters, in between
Very cool.
Time Wasters and the round tables was a lot of fun. Got to meet and take pictures with so many P1s. And so I wanted to revisit the contributions to the set that this show had. And there were a couple of reprises of previous material, and probably the biggest smash hit from Ticket Stock was the collaboration between you, Corby, and you, Bob, because you guys both love to play mouth guitar of Bush's Machine Head. And so that spawned this.
Ready, here we go. Jesus, okay. Let's do it one more time.
Makes me laugh so hard. I can see why, though, that, I mean, this is a huge hit, obviously, but it's also, like, gotta be fun for the band to play.
Yeah.
It's a real
because it's
thumper.
Like, for real rock riffs.
Yes, yeah.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in.
And Bob leaned into it this time, too.
I gave you more?
You did.
So let's change up the order just a little bit. Let's stay on the rock tip, because we had the debut performance by, I guess, the newest member of the Hardline crew, Kevin Landrum.
Yeah.
As we all know, or maybe you don't know if you're a relatively new P1 and we don't get to talk to Lando too often, but Lando, in addition to being honorably discharged from the military and often riding the train to work, he used to play bass in metal bands, and he has a penchant for the death metal. Is that correct?
I would agree. I would also say that I have moved to Richardson.
Oh, congratulations.
Whoa! When were you going to tell us?
No one asked.
Well, we always ask.
Are we supposed to ask you every week, have you moved?
Yes. That's correct.
How great is it now having to drive,
man,
15 minutes instead of 45?
So awesome.
Yeah.
Don't like 75. But
do you miss the train?
Not even a little.
Have you taken the DART?
Not yet.
Just like old times.
Yeah.
Well, you picked a song by Clutch called Quick Death in Texas. And I was in a panic at this point in the set because I did not know the lyrics to my songs. And so I was trying to have a cram session back.
Right. In the bathroom.
In the back. Yeah. So I only heard this through the walls, but this thing hit really hard.
With the local tradition, how was I to know she had a jealous husband? He was the GM of a tractor supply, well acquainted with the guns and knives. Sometimes I swear I have less sense than a bag of hammer.
Yeah, Deddy in there wailing with him.
Yeah, so Deddy was your only backup singer?
Yes. I figured I could cover up my lack of singing ability by having Deddy help me
out. Yeah, so it
was... Man, you rock.
It was Thank you, you were making a sacrifice, but it paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
like,
you
had to talk to Deddy, but then he helped you with your song. That's awesome.
Very much so.
Very good.
We also reprised the Rant Revival theme song that Corby penned last year.
We did. That was fun. We got Gordon up on stage. He was very... You can start playing it.
And I had to get Gordon to come play the guitar. He learned this song about 8 minutes ago, so...
He was up there being a jerk. They're backstage being a jerk. Like, you got to play. You got to play. I'm like, you play. You're better.
Well, Saturday mornings were insane. With Gordon, Snake, and Davey Lane. Always making fun of the living and the dead. And the Kennedy plane that went down in Gayhead.
R.I.P.
It was lobster claws and baby arms. We apologize, we didn't mean no harm. Always hung over and forever tired. It's a wonder we all didn't get fired. We're having a rant revival. Someone call the women and put away the Bibles. And for the sake of our survival, and baptize me in a big bag of weed and put cornmeal on the vinyl.
It's always fun.
Yeah. Turned into a big sing-along at the end.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool.
Always good stuff.
Really fun.
Now, so for my part, and I made the mistake that I always make, is I bite off more than I can chew.
You overplayed your hand.
You were great! I pick multiple songs that I'm not entirely familiar with, and then I try to start learning them too close to showtime, and I'm not fully prepared. But I did a bit where I did Cruel Summer by Bananarama at the beginning of the set, and then I did Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift at the end of the set. So here's the first one, the Bananarama song, with Snake on backup vocals.
On the very shaky falsetto.
Yeah, well, and I came in at the wrong register, and I forgot the lyrics, so this is going to be awful.
Hot summer streets and the pavements are burning. I sit around trying to smile, but the air
I'm
is
trying
so
to find
hot
it.
And dry. Strange voices are saying,
how would they say?
Something I can't understand. Heat is so bad, it's just really got quite out of hand.
I don't know what I just said.
It's a cruel, cruel summer. Leaving me here on my own. It's a cruel,
it's a cruel.
Now you're gone. Okay. So that was that one. So I introduced it. I said, this song is called Cruel Summer.
And people are like, ah!
Yeah, they're like, oh my God. And I was like, no, not that one, the other one.
Yeah.
And then so when I came back at the end of the show, I said, this is also called Cruel Summer.
And I had never heard this song until Friday night.
Fever dream high in the bite of the night. You know that I caught it. Bad, bad boy, took toy with the price. You know that I bought it. Killing me slow, out the window. Always waiting for you to be waiting below. Devils roll the dice, angels roll the eyes. If it kills me, makes me want you more. And it's new, shape of your body, it's blue. Feeling I got it, that's ooh, oh, oh. It's a cruel summer, it's cool. That's what I tell them, no rules. Unbreakable heaven and ooh, oh, oh.
Now, if you can fast forward to the bridge, the first bridge I actually nailed.
No, oh, it's you. Healing not got in this blue.
Not so much that part. But after
yeah, you really nailed the bridge.
I'm drunk in the back of the car, and I'm crying like a baby coming home from the bar. Long term mine wasn't true.
No.
I don't wanna keep secrets just to keep you. And I snuck in through the garden gate every night that summer just to seal my fate. And I screamed at the top of my lungs, I love you, ain't that the worst thing you ever heard? He looks up grinning like a devil, it's true.
Feeling all yeah, I mean, in the feeling moment like when everybody's drunk in the crowd and having a good time and all the Swifties are losing their minds.
Yeah. You feel good.
You can gloss over the mistakes that sound so crystal clear on the radio.
Right.
And then to me, the highlight of the night was Corby's rendition of The Cure's Just Like Heaven.
Yeah.
As covered by your hero.
Yeah. So Isbell, I'd seen this a month ago at Red Rocks. He did Just Like Heaven. I'm like, oh my God. This is the happiest moment I've had in like forever. And right when I heard him sing it, I'm like, I want to do this at Summer Bash. So yeah, there was no doubt.
The band sounded amazing.
They did.
Show me how you do that trick. The one that makes me scream, she said. The one that makes me laugh, she said. And through around my head, show me how you do it, and I promise you, I promise that I'll run away with you, I'll run away with you.
It's just a fun song to play,
and
although the high notes were
good. You're pretty dead on though, and speaking of the band, I mean, we gotta give him a shout out, Jesse of course,
yep,
on guitar. Also, MZ on guitar, Justin on bass, Kevin on keyboards, and Matt on the drums. I mean, we've gone through many iterations of the Time Wasters backing band, and they've all been incredible, and they all put in so much work
yeah.
to prepare all these dumb songs for us to butcher. And they say they have fun.
I think they do.
They did a great job.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. Thanks to the P1s.
Yeah, thanks to the Granada. Thanks to everybody, all the P1s who stopped by Sundown afterwards yeah. for the post-party.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Fun times.
Got to see Ham drinking a big glass of chocolate milk.
Yeah, he was. He asked at the bar if they had chocolate milk, and they said no.
24?
And I was like,
no strawberry Yoo-hoo.
You know there's a gas station right next door, so he went and bought himself chocolate milk and brought it back to the bar.
He had to shove it down his pants. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, no, you got a game this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we had six yesterday.
Right.
I know. We had to have played six games out in the heat. It was the best. And, yeah, we probably sound like a bunch of old dinosaurs sitting around talking, but if you have kids, I don't think it's a bad idea. If you do have that abandoned lot somewhere, let them go out and build them a field and figure it out. That's how we learned how to use lawnmowers. A lot of us were starting to cut the grass anyway.
Send your kids out with lawnmowers.
Yeah, send them out with lawnmowers and weed eaters.
And don't supervise them.
I didn't say chainsaws.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what's interesting to me is how my summers as a kid were dominated by baseball.
Yeah.
Because if we weren't playing baseball, it was me in my room with my baseball cards playing my dice baseball games or going through my card collection. That's how big baseball was.
Yes.
It's all you thought about from May until September.
Yeah.
It was the only thing on your mind.
And if we were at home, that's the other thing. If we weren't watching the Gong Show or something like that, 1:15, it was the On Deck Show with Harry Carey. And then he was doing the Cubs. And at night, it was the White Sox on Channel 44. Yeah. Baseball took up probably 10 hours a day with me in the summertime.
And now, because basketball and football are year-round sports, and kids are into some other sports too, soccer's grown, and golf, and all these other sports kids are really into, I just don't get the sense that kids' summers are dominated by baseball anymore.
Yeah. I think, you know, some that play Little League, and then it goes into some sort of select team, and they play a lot of ball, but not the way we used to play it. And I'm sure that they're all about baseball, and you know they can't wait for the Ranger game to start and all that. But it's a far different experience than what we had back in the day. So Ham edited this yesterday.
I was about to say,
geez. It goes for 5 minutes. This is Ham's new toy.
3 minute long note.
Tuning in yesterday, I heard that, and the Daddy, lovely day, holding out for a good minute or so.
By the way, that's one of the hardest things to do in singing.
Hold a note.
Hold a note and not cover your pitch with vibrato. You know, Daddy's pretty much holding that note. It's so hard to do, at least for me it is.
It was hard for that opera singer where he was singing and Bugs kept his hand up and he was...
Well, he was using vibrato.
I don't know if that matters or not, but it was... I hadn't heard a note that long since then. So anyway, Ticket Time Wasters, awesome time on Friday night. And leading up to that, we had several roundtable discussions and... I was on what was known as the greatest roundtable ever with Corby, Sean, and Mino. And we had this discussion that I thought was fun. And we've had this type of discussion on this show several times. But since we're now getting into summer days, I asked those guys two separate times of when you were growing up. First, from the time that you started to have some independence where you could leave the house on your own. Go hang out with friends in your neighborhood, whatever age that was. With me, I think it was 6 or 7, I think is when I could go hang out in the neighborhood, something like that. And then you start hitting your tweenage years and you're starting to go to high school, so that's almost a separate thing. But let's say ages 7 through 13, when it was summertime, and you were so glad to be out of school, how did you spend your days? And I think we termed it as, how did you waste your time during your days? And for me, I will fully admit that every day watching The Gong Show, Batman, Mr. Ed, Price is Right, and Happy Days for at least an hour of the day would be spent doing that, maybe an hour and a half or two, and maybe two different segments during the day. But the rest of the day was either spent at the pool, morning workouts, not with Marge, and then the thing that I don't think is done anymore today, endless baseball.
Yep.
We would start at 9 o'clock, and we would play until some guys had to go home for lunch, usually then back in the pool, maybe catch the afternoon reruns of something, and then back again 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And it wasn't as if we had a scheduled game. Hey, we got a 9 o'clock game and a 3 o'clock game. It was, we are playing baseball until we don't want to play anymore. And we probably played more than major leaguers from late May, early June until August when it was time to go back to school. And that was the absolute best. And you may think, well, God, what a waste of time. But we've talked about that before. The things you learn when you do that, you learn how to get along with others. You learn how to negotiate, how to go, okay, we'll do it. We'll have a do-over. All the things that you learn from that type of thing. And I'm sure some kids today still do it, but there's no way they do it because of we're all helicopter parents now. We don't let our kids do that. Or if we do, it's a scheduled, well, yes, they play baseball and they're on a travel team and all that. We weren't on a travel team. We weren't on a little league team. But we played baseball and we all got pretty good at it because you get good at something that you play for 8 or 9 hours a day.
Yeah, that goes back to the book review I did a couple of weeks ago, The Anxious Generation. They talk about how the most important thing for kids, young kids and adolescents, is free play. Outdoors, unmonitored free play where you, exactly what you said, you get to learn how to interact with other human beings. That's how you become a good adult.
Yeah.
Is you learn how to problem solve and how to relate to people, and that's disappearing quite a bit the last 10 to 20 years. Yeah, we played a ton of baseball, but most of it in my neighborhood, in my, say, ages 12 to 14, that was one-on-one baseball with my buddy Joey, because we were the only boys on the block.
Yeah.
And so we would play every single day, and we would each represent like 10 different teams, and we had a whole league. And we had a wiffle ball bat that we wrapped with duct tape, the barrel, so it would hold up. And we played with a tennis ball and baseball mitts, of course. And we had a narrow diamond, which was just the street. Like, a manhole cover over here was a base, and over here was a base, and anything outside. It was very narrow because you only had one person.
Yeah.
And my pitch count every day was 1 million.
Yeah, you didn't have someone come take you out.
I can't believe how many pitches, and we were throwing it hard.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to strike him out. But we played that nonstop every day. And as Corby brought up during summer chill, I don't ever remember when I was a kid taking a water break. Like, we never drank anything. We just played in 100 degree heat all day long, and we didn't care. But it was, for me, it was either playing baseball with Joey or in some other blocks we had more kids and we'd go out and play baseball. Or riding my bike. The bike was freedom. As soon as I got a bike when I was 5 or 6 and learned how to ride, my parents would let me ride it around town. And
yeah.
I spent most of my summers obsessed with riding to fill-in-the-blank. Baseball card shop.
Sure.
Grocery store. Airport. Just Ant Park, whatever I could come up with as my destination for the day. That was probably my number one childhood summer thing to do, was get up every day, fill up my water bottle. I guess I thought about drinking when I rode my bike, and then just ride somewhere and come back whenever it was time for dinner.
Yeah, and I guess with my own boys growing up, we had to know where they were going, what they were up to. Man, my parents didn't know. I just said, see ya.
Yeah. They just trusted us.
I was back. You know, we weren't doing anything bad. We were just going out and playing. And, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we got a little illegal at some point. But
uh-oh.
When we got older, I'm sure
what'd
we
you
did
do
something
that was illegal?
I don't know. I can't even think about what we did.
You steal from people?
No, we didn't do that. We didn't
put an old lady in the hospital.
We didn't crash mailboxes or do anything like that.
But we had also, outside of just the bike and baseball, we did lots of playing in the creek, playing on the train tracks.
Yes.
So my question is this.
Anywhere.
How did we never get bitten by a snake?
I don't know.
Because we used to play down in the creek all the friggin' time.
Yes. Yeah.
We never got bitten by a snake.
No.
Half of us would be barefoot.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of my younger years were in the north where we didn't have a snake problem. But
on
my junior high years, I was down here and... Yeah, we'd go places where I know there were snakes, and we never worried about them. Didn't worry about that kind of stuff. And then once you got to high school, with me, that's when I started working, so that pretty much killed your summer.
Yeah.
You know, you had a job, so you couldn't goof around as much. You could still go to the pool. I spent a lot of time at the golf course, and that was great, but it seemed like the summer job was always getting in the way.
How about we have a Musers Back to Nature summer, where the three of us, we all just play outside on the weekends.
I'm okay with that.
And if you ride bikes, Junior, you just have to ride it over to a neighbor's house and leave it upturned in the front lawn with the wheels up, you know?
Yeah.
Parking it like that.
Yeah. Man, the only time our parents got in the way, and I've told y'all this before, was we played so much baseball that it would systematically just wear out a diamond in somebody's front yard.
Yeah.
And that dad would get ticked and we'd move to the next yard. And finally, it was either Mr. Thetford or Murray that said,
made up names,
why don't y'all just go across to that empty lot over there and build your own field?
Great idea.
And we just went, what? And I think we ruined two or three lawnmowers doing it, hitting rocks and boulders, and we had to clear those out. And we made our own. That's why I think Sandlot's such a great movie. We had our own Sandlot, and we went there every day.
That's pretty cool.
And looking back at it, it wasn't a diamond. It was a rectangle that had trees going from third base to the left field foul wall. And if you hit the trees, it was an automatic double. We had some really strange rules. And we had an outfield wall, but it only went for about 12 feet because we only had so much plywood. So if one went wide of that, you'd have to say, I think that was lower than the height of the fence. So that's a double. Or if it was higher than that, then that was a home run. But again, there came the negotiation again to where, you know, and sometimes we'd argue for 15 minutes and then the game would end and we'd go swimming, but we'd be back there in 2 hours playing another game. It was awesome. And when I went back and as an adult visited, this is like 30 years later almost, that vacant lot was still there. They had not built a house on it. It was overgrown with trees, but out in the distance was our outfield wall. It was still there. That rotten plywood had been knocked over through time, but it was still out there. But that was one of the best things we ever did in my childhood, because then kids from other neighborhoods would start coming over. They got a field.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a field. You're going to get frustrated with some of it because if you hit a foul ball, that's the other thing. We hadn't cleared foul territory, so it'd go out in the weeds, and that was another thing looking for. And we'd play with a tennis ball, which is kind of like, you know, we were 7 and 8, didn't want to get hit with a real baseball. And sometimes we'd use a real baseball out there. But yeah,
none of that kind of play is coming back, though.
I don't think so.
You can't compete with with what we have now. We have so many options.
We got phones. We got amazing video games.
Incredible video games. It's just awesome.
VR. We got all this cool stuff. And yeah,
plus
playing in the Sandlot.
Like you said, the kids that are really into those sports, they're playing in some sort of club traveling sport. They don't get those days just in the neighborhood because, what was it, American Legion?
Yeah.
Some of the really elite kids would play American Legion ball through the summer, but most kids, when baseball ended in grade school in April, that was it.
Yeah.
You weren't playing anything else until football in August.
Right. Yeah, and there's no way if someone's playing club baseball, you could get him to go out and play baseball with his buddies in the morning because, oh, no, you got a game this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we had 6 yesterday.
Right.
I know. We had to have played 6 games out in the heat. It was the best. And, yeah, we probably sound like a bunch of old dinosaurs sitting around talking, but if you have kids, I don't think it's a bad idea. If you do have that abandoned lot somewhere, let them go out and build them a field and figure it out. That's how we learned how to use lawnmowers. A lot of us were starting to cut the grass anyway.
Send your kids out with lawnmowers.
Yeah, send them out with lawnmowers and weed eaters.
And don't supervise them.
I didn't say chainsaws.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what's interesting to me is how my summers as a kid were dominated by baseball.
Yeah.
Because if we weren't playing baseball, it was me in my room with my baseball cards playing my dice baseball games or going through my card collection. That's how big baseball was.
Yes.
It's all you thought about from May until September.
Yeah.
It was the only thing on your mind.
And if we were at home, that's the other thing. If we weren't watching the Gong Show or something like that, 1:15, it was the on-deck show with Harry Carey. And then he was doing the Cubs. And at night, it was the White Sox on Channel 44. Yeah. Baseball took up probably 10 hours a day with me in the summertime.
And now, because basketball and football are year-round sports, and kids are into some other sports too, soccer's grown, and golf, and all these other sports kids are really into, I just don't get the sense that kids' summers are dominated by baseball anymore.
Yeah. I think, you know, some that played Little League, and then it goes into some sort of select team, and they play a lot of ball, but not the way we used to play it. And I'm sure that they're all about baseball, and you know they can't wait for the Ranger game to start and all that. But it's a far different experience than what we had back in the day.
But Friday evening at the Granada was summer chill. Of course, the Time Wasters, we all had a song that we sang, some much better than others. And you just heard the actual Alan Jackson singing Chattahoochee. And I will say, I'm a fan of singing. I enjoy karaoke. I'll do it from time to time. I'll always jump up and sing a few songs. But I also know that I can't really sing. So I try to find songs that I know that I feel like I might sing okay at. I tend to go country because it seems to me, I have this belief that my country singing voice sounds okay, whereas anything else I sing is just horrible, which is why I hear about Junk for Joy all the time.
It's always fun, but it's nerve-wracking because you get people who aren't, you know, they're out of their element, but backstage it's a lot of pacing, a lot of AirPods, a lot of going over songs, and you said the same thing that's actually true. It is in your car listening to that tune 50 times, trying to make sure you have it right. And I don't want to go up there with lyrics, especially if a song I'm doing by myself. But I went into this one not knowing. I probably knew 20% of the song and actually the lyrics where they were supposed to be. And I kind of lollygagged a bit. Just kind of went on vacation, thought, man, I'll just listen to it on the flight. Didn't do it. And then it came back, it was kind of a panic. All right, let's learn this. Let's get it. Then I thought I had it.
Yeah,
and I didn't.
And see, I knew my song, but the problem, and I don't know what it is. I think sometimes having printed lyrics, or if you go to karaoke, there's always a screen that will have the words for you, and it's a crutch. So even if it's a song that you know, if you have a momentary lapse or you happen to lose your whatever, you're looking out at the crowd, you're into it, you're like, oh, where am I? And man, that got me good on Friday because I knew my song. I had said the lyrics over and over without any music to them. I could say them to you right now. And we get there, and for whatever reason, at a part that I never would have thought that I would have
ran out,
my brain just farted. And
there's a huge crowd, and they're just, you know, kind of staring at you, and then you just kind of lose your place. You lose your way. Well, let's check your song out, Alan Jackson, Chattahoochee.
Shockingly, I've had a few beers.
And that probably doesn't help either.
That's true as well.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than the Hoochie Coochie. We laid rubber on a Georgia asphalt. Got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night. In the pale moonlight, talk about cars, dream about women. Never had a plan to live more than a minute. Now, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. Learned to live a different life. Oh, no, I forgot the lyrics.
Wow.
But if I got the windows of my old Chevy, I was willing, she wasn't ready. We settled
for a burger and a great snow cone. Dropped her off early, but we didn't go home. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramidic cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars, dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living on the minute. Right out yonder on the Chattahoochee, knew how much muddy water meant to me. Where I learned who I swim and I learned who I was. A lot about women and a little about love.
Nailed it.
Okay, you got this at that time.
He does that in the song. I did it. Yeah, it's interesting because you can't hear yourself when we're singing. Like, I couldn't really hear myself, so I wasn't sure if it was coming out the way that I wanted to. And my voice sounded really scratchy. Now, that part did it.
Every time I get mixed up with my words, Ham, I want you to play that. And we had a theme of summertime.
Yeah.
Summer songs or whatever. So I did Summertime, Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Pretty popular song, I would think. It's a nice, smooth song, and I felt really good going in. If you want to just play it underneath, that's fine. And,
so since this is summer.
Oh, I was about to say, I don't curse up here, do I? You got everything, right?
I'm pretty sure you said it was just the one in the middle after you messed up. So I wasn't listening as closely.
Well, there are no curse words in the song. Okay, we're good. We're fine.
I definitely cut off a lot of your like talking in the front part, so you get into the song here pretty quick.
Okay.
Now you got me nervous.
No,
dude.
No.
Creighton was talking to me while I was editing this song.
Summer, summer, summertime. It's time to sit back and unwind. Well, here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that four-chord dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance. What about a groove that moves and soothes romance? And give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Just the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run around. Put your car on cruise and lay back. It's summertime.
All right, you know what?
Summertime.
Felt pretty good.
Yeah,
that's the third verse that I just totally melted away. We have a little bit to get to that, but I felt the car wobbling a bit even in the second verse.
Yeah.
And then I jumped on that because every time I practiced it, I messed up the second verse. Every time. And I thought, oh, man. But then when I would finally get it, I felt really good about going out there.
That happens, too, because that's what happened in my song. I was like, okay, it kind of repeats itself there and remember that. And then it got there, and I didn't. And I was like, oh, no, is it here or is it the next verse? And I was like, oh, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
All right, if you want to fast forward to me just absolutely, totally making a mess out of this song, that's fine. Because I felt pretty good about the second one.
Summer, summer, summertime.
The band sounds great.
Yeah,
I just did them such a disservice.
The band always sounds fantastic.
All right.
Hustle to the mall to give me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. This basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88.
I'm wobbling.
Out in the water plug, just the old time sake. I forgot the words. The barbecue starts at 4. Let's go pelvic thrust. Keep going. I got you. I'm going to start that verse over. I'm going to start over. Late in the day and I ain't been
all right, let's
yet.
Go. Plus let's get the wheels the back on.
Give me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. The basketball court in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Out in the water plug, just for old time's sake. To the crib was full, cause you're invited to a barbecue that starts at 4. Sitting with your friends while y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss.
And that's
like the front and kissed again. Why am I f***ing this up? Since 6 o'clock rolls around.
It also sounds like you are right on the edge of losing your voice.
Oh yeah.
To a summertime hangout, look like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine. Fresh from the barbershop or far from the beauty salon.
Every moment frontin' maxin', chillin' in the dark, you spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you.
Okay, I got the wheels back on. I probably wouldn't have said anything. I'd have been a
new definition, some of madness.
Dang it. If I would have just kept going, yeah. I would have been.
You would have just powered through.
Okay, you might want to bring that down because I probably started cursing after that. I was kind of.
You were feeling it then?
Yeah, I was feeling it because I got done and I knew I was done. So I probably was relieved.
Man, I was.
I've done that before, though.
I had the most FOMO because I did a song at Ticket Stock and decided kind of going into summer chill. Yeah, I'm not going to do anything for summer chill. And I had the most FOMO watching everybody go up. So it was just my role to
same
like,
with you, Ham?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just felt like I had nothing to do for 5 hours except for go up and congratulate my boys after they did something cool or, you know, just got out there and did it. I felt like an idiot for not volunteering this time around.
Yeah, I'll always sing because I do enjoy it.
I do, too.
It's just that you feel like you want to give a great presentation, even if you know you can't sing. Just for the P1s, and man, I just get bummed when I mess up a lyric or I forget like that. And
you're a rock star for 3 or 4 minutes, and then I did the song with George, and that was fun. I had the words up there for that because I knew I didn't want to do George a disservice.
One time, I'm gonna do a rap song, and just everybody's gonna be like, "What?
Maybe we can do one together.
Maybe we will.
Yeah, we can
gotta
do that.
Pick one.
Lando was great.
Where you walk into the room and you've got it."
Baldy was great.
Dude, the ticker,
it was a fun show.
The Ticker Boys owned the stage.
They did. Danny did a wonderful job with his. Sean had the energy. He was great. Davey, I didn't know I knew the first Cruel Summer. I didn't know the second one.
The Taylor Swift one?
Yeah, yeah, no, I didn't know that one. And that was fun.
That was great.
It was a fun performance to see us get up there and, you know, pretend we're rock stars and sometimes make idiots out of ourselves and forget lyrics and all that. But it was a fun time. Tito's Handmade Boxes, Summer Chill.
I know, I go, it sounds like I say a lot about lemons.
And the bum 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 bum.
Learn about lemons.
That's going to be my new Christmas song that we're going to say all about lemons. Bum 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 bum.
This past Friday night, Tito's Handmade Vodka Ticket Summer Chill at the Granada Theater in the air conditioning. And I do got to say, it does your heart really well to just go hang out with P1s and just for them to tell us how much they appreciate us and vice versa. We can just talk about what they mean to us. It's just a great night of, you know, revelry and comradeship and all that stuff.
It sounds a little cheesy, but a couple people did ask me what's my favorite thing about the ticket, and it's nights like that.
Yeah.
Because we do the show every day. We're in here. It's me and four of my good friends, and we're kind of just hanging out with each other. Yes, Lando, good friend of mine. It's kind of like we're just talking to each other, and right. We don't think about the people on the other side that are listening, and, you know, they're doing their job or they're going to work or whatever, and it's part of their day. And to actually get out and be around some strong P1s, and it really puts the picture in the frame of what this station is.
Absolutely. And the roundtables were a blast. But even when there's roundtables we weren't on, we would just go mingle in the crowd. And
we were part of the best roundtable in sports history, though. The final roundtable. It only lasted like 5 minutes.
It'll never be
We'll continue it tomorrow with Afternoon Jub.
But that 7 to 8 meet and greet, just hanging out with the P1s in the crowd was so good because, you know, you meet so many different people. And, you know, there's a lot of folks there that will show up to every event and you know them and you catch up with them. But, you know, to meet people that have been listening for almost a full 30 years and this is your first interaction with them, it's just great. You feel so good about your chosen profession when you're driving home later that
night. And it's really cool to meet the new P1s, too.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to a few people that said they started listening within the past year. Either they moved to town or they're at an age where they're discovering sports radio or something, some younger people that, you know, they one guy asked me, he's like, hey, how long do you have to listen to be a P1? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can start listening today, and if you enjoy the station, you're a P1. Doesn't matter if you've been listening since 94, that's cool. But if you just discover it now and you like what you're listening to, you're a P1.
30 years
just like
or
the
30
rest
seconds.
Of us. Yeah.
Whatever. Well, at 8 o'clock, we had the Time Wasters, and the Time Wasters It's so much fun, and it's a little intimidating to be on a stage where, like, you know, good musicians actually play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went to see Adele there in 2009, so that kind of blows my mind that she actually had that stage at one time, and then we're just cheapening it with all the stuff we're doing.
I want to know more about that Adele show one day, because you brought that up a few times Friday night.
Classic Sean.
Classic Sean. Going to see 20-year-old Adele.
Oh, it's because the girlfriend at the time's like, hey, we have to go to this, and I'm like, okay. And then like an hour in, you're like, okay, this is pretty great. She's going places.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she did. But I want to start with my song, Get It Out of the Way. I went fifth, and apparently Donovan...
A one, a two, a one, woo!
Okay, go ahead and play it. Ryan Adams song
that we all know, of course, from the opening of Old School.
Right. Deddy and Corby on backup. So easy song to remember.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big Ryan Adams guy. Old School, I think, is now 20 years old.
Yep.
Which is hard to get my brain around. So I thought, nice 3-minute song, in and out, no problem. I didn't hear Donovan before me because apparently Donovan forgot some of the lyrics to Summertime. And
I didn't notice him miss any lyrics.
We were backstage, so I didn't really notice it either. And so I think I was fifth in the pecking order, which I was happy to be done relatively mm-hmm. early. It's good to just get it out
right
of the way.
Right in the sweet spot. Not first, yes. But not last. Just top third.
Yep.
You want to go.
And then you can enjoy the rest of the show, yeah. Which I did with P1s out in the crowd. And
there was good crowd reaction to this song, too.
Oh, good.
Like, people were into it.
Yeah, you can't hear anything when you're up there, so what? That's good. And they actually had, like, production lights, like a mm-hmm. real concert, which was kind of trippy.
It's kind of funny, the first 10 times I saw Old School, I thought this was a Bob Dylan song.
It does
like
sound
he sounds
Dylan,
very
yeah.
Bob Dylan.
I see that. Yeah, get a little fish
the breakdown.
There.
You were telling me about a rehearsal when you were practicing and Deddy was singing backup for you, and
yeah.
then Corby heard it. He wanted to join in because yeah. he's a big Ryan Adams fan too. And you were telling me how Deddy was like coaching you through
yeah,
because he's a trained singer.
I was a classically trained singer.
He's said that on the record.
With that in mind, let's get to Deddy because Deddy has now become an emerging star with the Time Wasters because, like the drop says, he's classically mm-hmm. trained, and he did a Bill Withers song, "Lovely Day," which I thought was probably one of the best sounding things of the night because you had Georgie and Donovan doing backup vocals. And we like to give Deddy a hard time because, you know.
We do, yeah.
He brings it on himself,
easy.
Too,
yeah.
So it's fun. But I will say this. He's got a great voice. And the fact that he's able to sustain notes like this is pretty incredible. This is towards the end of Lovely Day as he's just belting it out. And you have, you know, Donovan and George singing behind him. And I just think this is pretty fantastic. And the crowd starts really getting
Hell
into
yeah.
it because
it's such a feel-good song,
it
too.
Is.
You can't hear the song and have a bad day.
He's just wearing his Kangol yeah. hat, just belting it out. It's a good work, Deddy.
Deddy's the guy that goes to karaoke, and he's the guy that's clearly better than everybody else singing karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
He's that guy.
Yeah, he has like 4 or 5 songs he can just do
oh, yeah.
at the drop of his Kangol hat. And let's go to the star of the night, maybe the breakout star of the Time Wasters, and that is, as I look in the newsroom, I see his red hair, I see the beard, I see the glasses, I hear granola crunching, and maybe some beans consumed. Kevin Landrum was up on stage, and you did, a Quick Death in Texas by Clutch?
Yes.
Now, Clutch is
maybe not the most like known hard rock band, but they did open for Metallica when I saw them back in the summer of 2000 for like a makeup show because James Hetfield's back was bad during the Texas Stadium show. And I thought they were awesome that night, but they weren't as good as this because Lando completely owned the stage. And you want to talk about stage presence? This dude has it in spades. And the band sounded really cool too.
Mannerism didn't jive with the local tradition. How was I to know she had a jealous husband? He was the GM of a tractor supply, well acquainted with the guns and knives. Sometimes I swear I have less sense than a bag of hammer. I pray for courage.
Yeah.
I pray for love. I pray for guidance.
I had to have Daddy help me on that because I was worried about singing it.
It sounded great with the backup, too.
When the song started and Lando took the mic off the stand, I knew we were about to rock ass.
Yeah, because most of us just get up there, we're holding the mic stand, and we're just trying to remember our lyrics.
Oh,
that's
Daddy's
the biggest thing.
Or excuse me, I didn't mean to call you Daddy. Baldy, which was another funny thing. So he gets up there. No, it was Baldy's song. Baldy went first, and me and the boys were standing in the back.
On? Yeah, you're not
you were yelling Lando at him.
So he said, yeah, I'm Baldy, I'm not Lando. And I'm standing right behind Lando going, yeah, Lando! Lando's just like, really? I had a couple beers.
Yeah, I can tell.
But yeah, Lando was awesome on stage. He was going all over the place.
He used up the whole stage.
It was a rock show.
Like, no matter where you were sitting in the front, you got an eyeful of Lando.
Too much close. Lando.
I say not enough.
I just wanted to enjoy the moment, and I was worried about the way it would sound, not about performing it.
But if you go extra with the energy,
that makes up for
any the way to go.
Yeah,
vocal issues you might have. But dude, it was so much fun. Of course, George and Donovan and all. Gordo on the guitar, Corby doing
Just Like Heaven.
Just Like Heaven near the end.
That was great.
That was so good. And of course, Sweet Hardline at the end as always. But things didn't stop right around when the Time Wasters, because next door, and that's the cool thing about the Granada, is we sort of had a built-in place to go after. So we all went to Sundown next door. But real quick, I do want to criticize Monto for much.
Again.
You opened our gift and you didn't show, because I heard this yesterday morning and I agree, because there's so many people that came up to me and was like, hey, is Justin here yet? I'm like, I think he's getting here at like 6:30 or 7 o'clock. And we're just like having to like answer for where's Monto?
Yeah, it was like 2 a.m. and somebody asked me, where's Monto? I was like, he's on his way. He said he's on his way.
Monty has ass cancer.
Well, okay, yes. Yeah, yes, thank you. Thank you, Ham.
Allegedly.
Sorry to have disappointed you so much this weekend, Sean.
You really did.
I hate that you had to answer for me not being there.
Yes.
What an awful weekend.
Okay, don't get sensitive about it. We're just wondering where you were. We were having a blast.
I couldn't make
it. And I missed Monty. No, I get it. It's fine.
Stuff, driving.
It should be noted that EA wasn't there either.
Yeah.
And that was egregious.
Oh, I didn't even notice
that.
Yeah,
me and EA were running through all the women in DFW on Friday. That's why we weren't there.
Having a contest. But
a run-through contest.
What you did miss at the end was Ham at the after party holding a Nesquik chocolate milk. And I had questions. And I actually heard the answer yesterday.
At the bar?
Yeah, at the bar. Because you went in and asked for a chocolate milk.
Yeah, and they didn't have any.
Well, it's a bar.
So I went next door to a gas station and I got myself some Nesquik.
And you brought it back to the bar.
Yeah.
Were they cool with it? Just like, okay, this guy.
They're not going to throw me out.
No. We were having too good of a time.
That was cool. I went home and got some food and then came back. I think I must have just missed Ham. I don't think I saw you there. It was pretty late in the night. But it was cool, the amount of P1s that stuck around. I don't think I've been to Sundown before.
Oh,
I think I've been on the patio.
Weird.
I've never been inside. There was another band playing.
Mm-hmm.
Went till about midnight.
Party crowd, yeah,
people
they were
stuck
great.
Around. It was great.
But Ham's doing shots.
Yeah, I'm doing chocolate milk shots with the cap of the chocolate milk.
So everybody's having their own shot of choice. And Ham brought
I'm
his.
Knocking them back and going,
strong.
Did my lemon drop shot at the end of the night.
Of course.
And the lemon drop at sundown
was probably the sweetest one. Center square on your bingo.
It's a Mavs thing, but the season's over. Had to do one more. Just get it out of the way till next season starts, or at least this weekend, because vacation's coming up. So I'll probably do some over vacation at the pool. But, man, it was...
Summer chill, good.
I think this is a new tradition. And it, you know, it's different. It's change, and people don't always like change, but I think the venue was outstanding for it. The stage was nice. Fit everybody in there. It was... Maybe I'm biased because I live right down the road from it, but I think it's pretty centrally located to where people could come by. The parking, I didn't hear any complaints about parking. We had parking behind the Granada. I think it's a great tradition. I think we're going to keep doing this.
I hope so. I mean, it was great not to sweat through your pants on a given night. So that's,
I wore jeans.
Some of us get older.
We didn't have to worry about sweating all night and being all stanky.